All right, how are you guys doing? Yeah, you guys okay? Tired? I'm okay. I was sick for a week and a half, so I missed last week. So thanks, Tom, for filling in. So, and I noticed there's lots of comments about what you mentioned and people praying, so you did a good job. That's all it takes. I don't know about you guys, but you do the whole holiday thing, and then when you get sick, and so for like weeks, you're like out of it, and it kind of drains you a little bit, doesn't it? You know, you feel a little disconnected and all that stuff. So I'm glad to be back here at church and to be with all you guys. And I don't know if you guys know this, but you guys are a beautiful mess. You really are. I mean, you think about it. If you look at us as a group, I mean, we are all over the board. We got computer programmers. We got, you know, people with PhDs. We got carpenters. We got just, you know, train drivers. We got janitors. We just got a little bit of everything, you know. And we're just all over the place. And I don't know if you guys have thought about this much, but if you were out in society, because this isn't society here, if you were out in society, you probably wouldn't really bump into each other. You know what I mean? And yet, here you are, all together, here as one group, for one purpose, to glorify God. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that's a beautiful mess. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to dig in. Father God, we come before you right now. Lord, we just thank you for the way that you work in our lives, the way that you have molded this church. Father, I thank you for each and every individual. That, Father, we all have our little quirks. We all have our problems, and we all have our things that add to just the joy of the church. And so, Father, I thank you for each one of them, and I thank you for the smiles they bring. I thank you for the enthusiasm, for the willingness to show up on work days, for the willingness to be a part of discipleship, and just their hearts that long for you and more of you, that, Father, that your kingdom would come. And so, Father, we just ask as we dig into your word that you would lead us and guide us through your spirit. That, Father, I rely on your spirit, because your spirit is truly what leads us and guides us. And so it's not my words, it's not my ability, but it's you and you moving through us. And so we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are going to do a series that we are the church. I don't know if you guys realize that. You are the church. You are collectively, we are here as Explore Church, and we're just a small part of what the kingdom is doing. But we want to walk through what it means for us as a church and what that means being a part of us, and just kind of what I feel like God is leading us into and what he's taking us through, and just kind of focusing in on that a little bit. So we're going to start over here, 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to look at verse 9 here. It says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You guys are the church. That's it. I mean, that's the reality. You are the church. A lot of times when we think about church, we talk about church as this thing, as this entity that we go to. We talk about church as that place down the road that things happen or don't happen, or that shouldn't have happened. You know, we talk about church as if it was detached from us, don't we? The reality is you are the church. Hey, here's the strong reality. If you are a believer in Christ, you are the church. You cannot be a believer in Christ and not be the church. So if you've ever sat there and said, "Well, I'm a believer, but I'm not a church guy." No, you are the church. To say that you're not part of the church or that you don't like the church is to say you don't like yourself. You are the church. we come together and we gather, and we may call ourselves Explore as this gathering, or we may come together and gather someplace and put a name on it, and there's a building there. But that is not the church. That is just a place where the church gets together as a small group. See, we are the church. If you believe in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, if you believe that you're a sinner and that he died on the cross, and then he rose again, and you've received that into your life, then you are a part of the church. You are the bride of Christ. Once you were not a people. And if you think about it, I said we're a beautiful mess. We're from all sorts of different walks, all sorts of different backgrounds, different stages of life. We're at all different places. We have all different gifts and different abilities, different talents. And that's what's crazy about it. That's what's so beautiful about it, is that God brings that all together. Because otherwise, there's nothing that would bring all of us together. Because we got our own desires, our own programs, our own things, our own hobbies, our own circle of influences, our own people that we hang out with. But yet, God brings us together, even though that we're scattered all over the place. He brings us together for his glory, for his purpose. Look over here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, it says this. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, all of its parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we were all given the same spiritual drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but of many. Skip down to verse 27 here. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it, like it or not. Some of you may go, ooh, I don't know if I like that. You are a body of Christ. You are a part of it. Matter of fact, if you try to isolate yourself from the body of Christ, you do yourself harm and you do the body harm. Because you're not made to function by yourself. See, we live in a society where we value independence. And independence, in some ways, has its place. Because here's the reality of it is, individually, you need to accept Christ. Nobody else can do that for you. You don't inherit that. It doesn't come from your parents. It doesn't come because you were just hanging around a group of place, you know, people, or that you went to church, so now that you are a believer. That's not the way it works. You have to make an individual choice. It's your heart. It's whether you surrender to God and accept him as your Lord and Savior or not. But if you have... What's really crazy about it is that God brings all of us together. You are no longer alone. Now, this is what's kind of heartbreaking. I feel like for years, the American church has not embraced that. I feel like the American church for years has gone with the idea that church is a program. We put on something, people come and are entertained or they're blessed, or it's like that was a good motivation, you know, that I loved the way that he spoke and that just really encouraged me. And we go home and we don't have anything to do with anybody else. And it's sad because that's not what the church is. It's not what a church was ever meant to be. We've turned the church into an event. We've turned the church into a place. We've turned it into an entity. We can even talk about, man, I'm not too sure this is what God intended, and so I'm kind of frustrated with organized church. Don't you like how you throw that out there? Organized church. Like that would, you know, gives it a definition that, you know, if we call it that, then we can be frustrated with it. You know? The church is a church. Whether it's organized or whether it's chaotic. Whether it is in a home with three or four other believers, or whether it's in a big, huge building, and it's all about one individual that stands up and speaks, it's still the church. Sometimes we don't do church very well. Sometimes church is not healthy. I don't know about you guys, but this last week, I was not very healthy. So last week, I was sick. And I laid on the couch, and I couldn't stay warm. And I hacked up stuff I shouldn't be hacking up. I'm sorry, that's kind of probably gross. I figured you needed to laugh, though. Here's the reality of it, though, is when the body's not working right, it's not fun. And what's crazy about it is when the body's not working right, like physically, I'm laying there and I'm like sweating and yet I feel cold and it's like, this is miserable. What happens to the mind? The mind goes to places where it's like, all right, I can't do anything. This is numbing. I don't want to watch any more YouTube. This is stupid. You know what I mean? And you just get to that place where it's like, this stinks. This is not fun. You know? And your mind goes to dark places, and it's like, what's my value? I can't do anything. You know, is this the rest of my life? You know what I mean? You guys ever go there? Maybe. Okay, thank you. I appreciate you recognizing that, so I didn't have to go to counseling immediately after this. But but you know what happens? Is when the body doesn't work, it affects everything, doesn't it? It affects the way we think. It affects our our mood, our attitude, our feelings. What about the body of Christ? When you are a part of the body of Christ, but yet the body is not being healthy, what happens to us spiritually and emotionally and physically? We start to make excuses of why we shouldn't be a part of a group, or how draining it is to go be a part of a group, that you feel like you're not getting anything out of it, and you're wondering what your value is and what your purpose. And you start thinking, well, church is just kind of the routine, right? We show up because this is what we're supposed to do, and I know I'm accepted by Christ, but maybe if I show up, at least I'm doing something that pleases God. And we get frustrated because that's not healthy, and we get discouraged because that's not healthy. We get into a place where we begin to question our spirituality. We begin to question where we're at with God. We begin to question what our purpose is. We begin to question pretty much everything because we're not healthy. See, when we're healthy and we're active, when we're healthy and we're doing, when we're going through the routine of life, it's amazing how when we're healthy, we can actually enjoy life. We enjoy the routines. We enjoy the things that challenge us. We enjoy, it's like, okay, no, I'm ready for that. And I'm looking forward to this adventure. And you know, there's things that we put into our life that give us meaning and purpose that we find in the rhythms of what normal life is supposed to be like. Shouldn't the church be the same way? Shouldn't there be rhythms and routines and adventures and things within the church body?